But starting us off, we are going out to our Democrat of the day. We are heading out to 15A. Emmy Menzel is joining us. She is a DFL candidate trying to run for that seat, and she is kind enough to take some time to talk to us about her campaign. Emmy, thanks for the time.
Hi, Matt. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me.
Oh, by all means. Thank you very much. Let's hear a little bit about who exactly is Emmy Menzel.
Well, I'm a very regular Minnesota girl, actually. I'm a wife and a mother, a small business owner. I like to write. I'm a dog lover. I love to spend a lot of time out in the outdoors. I like to camp, canoe, and fish, and swim, and all the things like a Minnesota girl likes to do.
and you are in a fine district for that, for sure. But what then prompted you, if I can ask, to say, you know what, I'm going to run for the Minnesota House this time around?
That is a good question. I really didn't have a lot of political ambitions. I was always a political junkie. But it was actually the proposal to mine in the Boundary Waters, or at the watersheds, I should say, that really got me my voice. You know, I felt that it wasn't being heard. And so I thought, you know what? If you can't listen to me as a voter, I'm going to knock on the door in St. Paul and see if you can hear me now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what really got the fire started. But now that I'm in it, there is this, you know, I love my community and I want to be part of the solution. And so I'm just doing my best.
Well, and you are doing your best. And the one things I think is so important is, you know, you're running in a district that has, this has traditionally been conservative territory. But the reality is, with this year, and we just saw some numbers from NBC and Marist that show, you know, Democrats are well out in the lead. I mean, you don't take anything for granted. But this is a year I think a lot of things are going to change in the state. Your district, as you talk about hunting and fishing, my goodness, you have a wonderful district for that. 15A, it starts just south of Princeton, correct? And then runs up to the lake, Mille Lacs?
Yes. Yep. All of Mille Lacs County, a little bit of Sherburne, and a little bit of Kanawha County.
Oh, that is some very good country to be in, that's for sure. And have you been out? I'm presuming you've been out doing a lot of the door knocking, because that's, I think, the difference this year. When I've talked to a lot of DFLers, they have said that the door knocking became a priority and they've been out doing it. Has that been for you the case?
I am doing a lot of door knocking, and I'm finding the number one, you know, concern of all the voters, it doesn't matter if you're Democratic or not, is that the health concern, you know, the health cost concerns, it's a really big deal. It affects everybody.
You know, and it's interesting, as yesterday they keep trying to say, oh, well, we're going to do something good for you. But the reality is yesterday he basically said we're not going to allow pre-existing conditions to be covered. You're talking about something. I mean, in a conservative district, you can understand why some people might have hope that, oh, well, our guy's promising better health care that's going to be less expensive. But the reality is that as 2 years have gone on, and if not for a no vote from John McCain, they would have completely gotten rid of the Affordable Care Act in its entirety, and we wouldn't even have any health care whatsoever. I think that scared so many people, and even conservatives, that they're realizing that this is more than just a political party issue. This is something that I want to make sure I can at least get health care, whether or not I've got a pre-existing condition or not.
Absolutely. That's so scary, and that actually hits home. For me, my husband has diabetes, and that is a really, really expensive ailment to have. Insulin is super expensive. It's gone up over 200% just in the last 5 years. And it's just, it's an astronomical burden for many, many people who, I mean, it's a big deal. We need to give people the coverage that is usable. Right now, they're paying lots of money for just premiums, not to mention the high deductibles. And people are just not even going to the doctor because they can't afford to use the insurance that they've got. It's just unacceptable. We have to do something about it.
Well, and you said it exactly. I mean, whether it's EpiPens or insulin, these opportunists have gotten into these drug companies and these executive offices, and they are saying, well, they need it to survive, so they'll pay whatever they need to. And the reality is it's the reluctance to look at stuff like that, which is, that's bread and butter issues right there. You know, insulin is a pretty common drug. EpiPens. My wife is allergic to bee stings. Having an EpiPen now is an incredibly expensive thing. You know, it's the reluctance of the people that have we've had in charge to understand that unless you're willing to tackle some of these cost issues, this is never going to be the problem with healthcare in America. Is not quality. We have the best healthcare on the planet. It's accessibility. And if unless we don't have accessibility or the ability to buy a life-saving medication or drug that we all need for something that doesn't require us to question if we're going to have food this week, I think that that's a big problem.
Absolutely. And, I mean, there's even cases of people rationing their insulin and, you know, having horrible, disastrous consequences. And that's not, I don't want to live in a nation that you have to go fund me or die. That's just not some place that I think is acceptable, and which is another reason why I'm running.
Amen on that. That's for sure. Let's talk a little bit about education issues. I have been one of the most staunch supporters. The current system we have in place statewide is broken. It doesn't work for rural districts. It doesn't work for medium-sized towns. It doesn't work for the suburbs. Well, it works for the suburbs to a point, but it doesn't work for the inner city. The inner city doesn't work. And the problem is this, especially in rural parts of the state, is this constant say, well, if you need money, just have a referendum. That's an ineffective way to fund education, especially when you're having a very limited amount of population that you have to appeal to. I'm presuming this is the same thing. This is a thing we've heard quite a bit. I'm presuming that's the same exact thing that you've had up in 15A, right?
Absolutely, and we have an older population as well. So a lot of people are on fixed incomes. So when their property taxes go up, it really hits them hard, you know. And then they are by eyeballing in Social Security, which is a federal issue. But at the same time, people are pretty scared about that. So schooling. We need to make sure that those mandates are covered by those state funds that are available instead of asking, you know, putting more burden on the counties and homeowners. There's options. We just need to use them.
Absolutely. And when you're looking at a farmer whose margins are, you know, minimal, $25,000, $26,000 a year, saying, hey, we need another $2,000 because the school building. And the thing which is interesting, if you go talk to the farmers, and I know you can talk about this, you talk to the farmers, they'll tell you, oh, I know the school needs to be updated, but we can't afford to give him the money.
Right. Yep. Mm. Yep. I agree with that as well. And you know what else I think, too, is we need to work on higher education costs. You know, when I went to school, we could afford, we had Pell Grants, we had, you know, a lot of options for assistance through the state. And now our kids are graduating with, like, mortgages worth of debt, and they can't get along with on with their lives. They can't buy cars, they can't start a family or buy a house or, geez, even a washer and dryer, because they're up to, you know, over their heads in student loan debt. And that's, it didn't used to be that way, and we need to change that as well.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, they used to be. I mean, there are some fine colleges here that are very expensive in the state of Minnesota. McAllister, very expensive college. You know, St. Thomas, St. Olaf. I mean, these are some more expensive colleges, and those were always options. The University of Minnesota and its system and other colleges were supposed to be affordable options for most people, and we've gotten to the point where, you know, the wealthy colleges are for the obscenely wealthy. Most of the regular colleges, you mean, yeah, you're right. You've got to anticipate graduating with, you know, 20 years worth of debt payments to go with just to get clear. And then the only other option is either a tech school or a community college. And a lot of those times, those credits, A, don't transfer, and B, that they're not really an applicable, a job program within those organizations that might affect your community. So I think you're right. We have to look at higher education, because You can't have a portion of your population walking out with a lifetime worth of debt. You just can't.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then they can't contribute to society, you know, because, you know, all they're doing is paying all their money down to their student loans. They're not, you know, starting businesses. They're not starting families. They're, you know, it needs to change.
Emmy Menzel is joining us right now. Democrat of the day, 15A. I hear you're a big fan of the Legacy Amendment.
I am a big fan of the Legacy Amendment, and you know why? It's because the people voted for it. The people voted to protect the Minnesota that they know and love for future generations. The sportsmen, the outdoor nature lovers, like, we knew that these were what the funds were going for, and we said, yes, we want to preserve Minnesota. So trying to pilfer those funds for other things is basically a slap in the face to voters. And that is not what a representative is supposed to do. A representative is supposed to listen to what the voters want and proceed as they've asked you to do. So I really think that we need to make sure that we keep the legacy amendment intact the way that it is.
Well, and we had Pawlenty went out there and raided the smoker, the smoking agreement that we had, the settlement there. And you can't just do that. And I agree with you. The legacy amendment, the Republicans insisted it was a waste of our time. It got passed, and it got passed overwhelmingly. And Republicans ever since then have been drooling about divvying up that money primarily for tax breaks for their wealthiest. And the reality is that, you know, unless we get a Democratic majority in that House, they're going to try to figure out another way to do it.
Right. And let me tell you, another reality is that almost half of our water here in Minnesota is too polluted to eat the fish out of or even swim in. Yep. Half of our water in 10,000 lakes. I guess it's 11,000 something. But that is a really big deal. We are taking for granted our resources. And we need to start opening our eyes around the nation, like what is happening around us. There is, you know, look at Flint, look at California. Like there's proposals to want to send a water pipeline out of Lake Superior. And here we want to try maybe mine where we shouldn't be mining, you know? So we need to pay attention to what is going around us and, you know, notice our blessings and really preserve our resources, because they might not be there if we don't.
I will fight to the end to make sure they don't start pipelining water out of Superior or the Great Lakes as a whole, because that's just solve your own problem, you know, or maybe not go move someplace where there's no water. I mean, I hate saying it like that, but I don't mean cold, but you know, you start doing
let's
that.
Let's not poison it. Let's not poison ourselves.
No, well, and let's get back to why you're running here, because I couldn't agree with you more. When you talk about this sulfur mining that they want to do up there, it has never been done environmentally safe. They keep saying we're going to be environmentally safe. It has never been done that way. It has toxified the air.
90% failure rate.
And the failure rate means the containment areas they have fail. And so, I mean, it doesn't mean that other 10% was clean. It just means they didn't oopsie that one. But, you know, when you're talking about...
And so I'm not against mining, though. I want you to know I'm not against mining at all. You know, I was born on the Iron Range. So, but the thing is that this is our water we're talking about. And with a 90% failure rate, and not to mention the jobs that the northern Minnesota, like those lakes and the Boundary Waters and Lake Superior, if those waters are poisoned, people are not going to want to come and play in those lakes and in those areas.
Nope.
We will devastate the region, and we should just really be careful and let those environmental reviews go through and not push them through. And, you know, the national environmental deregulation that's going on is scary, scary stuff.
We all for mining. Mining is good, but there is nothing wrong with saying, has it been done environmentally safe? Yes. Okay, great. Then you have to do it, you know, environmentally safe. Has it been done environmentally safe? No. Well, if we go forward with this, we're going to have, first of all, some assurances that it's not going to be a toxic mess, and you're going to clean up your mess if you make it, because I imagine, I'm going to be honest, if you put that provision in there that they have to clean up anything they leave behind, they won't even start digging, because they
want... It doesn't matter. All around the world, that's like a thing that that corporations do. They make a mess, they declare bankruptcy, and they leave it for tax repairs to clean up.
Yep.
I'm not allowing that.
Nope. You can be for mining, and you can be against sulfur mining, that's for sure. And once again, the Republicans, we should make sure we mention, as all of them now are screaming, oh, I'm for safe mining, the reality is they tried to undo the water standards in the state of Minnesota. Not for any other reason outside of they want to allow a toxified mine. And they know it's going to leak. They know it's going to be bad. They know the public's going to find out about it. And so they're trying to get rid of the standards as opposed to actually hold them accountable.
Right. And who does that represent? That doesn't represent the voters. It doesn't represent people.
Big Brazilian mining. Big Chinese mining. It did. Canadian miners and European mine. That's who they're representing. They don't give a rat's caboose about us, that's for sure, when it comes to this mine. And that's, I agree with you. I mean, of all the things that have happened in the last 2 years, the fact that these Republicans have gone, you know, full bore into basically saying we're going to allow the most toxic type of mining to happen in one of the most pristine wildernesses in this country is an absolute disaster.
Right. And so then what we also have is we have, like, what is it, 3% of the world's water is actually drinkable water, and we hold 10% of it, of that 3%, here in Minnesota, in our Great Lakes and in our Boundary Waters. So why are we doing that? Why would we do that when really, like I said, all around the world we're having water problems when that water could be worth gold, you know, instead of, but not if it's poisoned. And it's not just poisoned for a little bit. It's poisoned for 500 years. Poisoned.
Yeah, there is no cut in that timeline. There isn't. And as Emmy said earlier, they've had a 90% failure rate. The other 10% just haven't failed yet. And they don't know what else to do with it. So, yeah, it's a bad deal. Obviously, we need Emmy in St. Paul. It would be fantastic to have Emmy Menzel for 15A. This is the point, Emmy, where I make the plea to everyone out there. If you're listening to me right now, help your local Democrat by all means. But if you're in a relatively safe district, take some time, go north, 169 through Princeton, up into 15A. It's beautiful country up there. I'm presuming you've got 4 weekends of door knocking going on here, and we need to maximize every one of those weekends, correct?
We sure do. We are always looking for help. You can contact us on emmyforhouse.com, like our Facebook page. We're always looking for help and volunteers.
Emmy for House, EmyForHouse.com. EmmyForHouse.com. I'll link to everything on social media a little bit later on. Emmy Menzel, 15A, Democrat of the Day. Emmy, thank you very much. I appreciate the time. All my best.
Yeah, thanks, Matt.
You take care.